Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, where we read together earlier. Particularly, our text is found in verse 44, where it reads, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, the context is very simple here. The context is that the Lord Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, and as he has spoken to them, they have pointed out the buildings of the temple, they have been impressed by them, and he makes it clear that they are not to grow overly enamored with those, seeing they shall be thrown down. And they ask him, when shall the time of these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Because in their eyes, if the temple was going to be destroyed, they would have imagined that that would be the end of the world. Of course, he answered those questions. He said when the temple would be thrown down, and as you read through this passage of Scripture, much direction is given as to when that destruction of the temple would occur. Along with that, he also goes on to answer their inquiry with regards to the coming of the Son of Man. Though they seem to imagine that these things would occur pretty much together, the Lord was under no such illusion. And so as he speaks to them, he unfolds all that they need to know with regards to his coming again. It's interesting, you know, that in the Bible, in the New Testament, scholars reckon that 1 in 13 verses of the New Testament deals with the coming of Christ. I don't know if I can say 1 in 13 sermons that I preach deal with the coming of Christ, or even 1 in 13 of my sermons on the New Testament do. But it shows you that it is a theme which was very much at the forefront both of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his apostles. And the reason is not simply an idea that you often find today where people delve into such things with a speculative, inquiring mind for the sake of their own looking after novelty and imagining that they can somehow disprove what God has said when he said, "Of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, nor even the Son." And they seem to imagine that they can do what they have been told they will never do, which is to find the day and the hour when Christ cometh. And it's amazing, you know, you've seen some of those fanciful individuals parading themselves, sadly to the mockery of an unbelieving world, imagining that all who believe in the coming of Christ are as deluded as those individuals who think they can do what Christ has said they will never be able to do, which is to name the day and hour. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that he is coming again. That though he would be taken from them, they would mourn. Then he would rise again from the dead. That he would leave them only for a time, and when he came again, he would come again in power and great glory, and every eye will see him. Jesus referred to this fact many times, that he would come again. And we, of course, here in this passage and in other places of Scripture, reminds us that there are certain things which shall occur before our Lord returns. There shall be the calling in of the Gentiles. The Lord will bless the gospel to the nations which were viewed at that time by the Jews with absolute abhorrence. They were simply heathen nations. The Lord made it abundantly clear that the gospel would go forth with power in such a way as throughout the nations, men and women, by the multitude, would believe. My brothers and sisters, we are part of the evidence of that reality. That the gospel did not lie locked up within the sandy borders of Israel. But from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of God will be praised. And that blessed truth is something that will see its great fulfillment when from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation there shall sit down by Abraham and all those patriarchs, those who knew and came to love the Lord and serve Him from every nation. Before the coming of the Lord, the gospel would go forth with power, calling the Gentiles. What an encouragement that is for us both personally, for the Lord's purposes, for we who are of the Gentile nations, and also an encouragement to us as the church to go to others and to tell them to come, for all things are ready. Oh, this message is a message which goes out to the nations of the world. And I pray that we as the denomination shall never forget that mission emphasis of the gospel. I certainly don't believe we have, and I believe it's very deeply ingrained in our psyche. And this is why, because the Lord tells us in His Word, part of what will be seen before the return of our Savior will be that blessed gospel going forth and calling in the Gentiles. Along with that, there will be, as we are told in Scripture, you see it in 2 Corinthians, you see it in Romans 11, that there will be a turning of the nation, the ancient nation of God's people, the Jews, and all God's elect shall be brought in, both Gentiles and then the Jews, a flourishing of God's blessing upon this world, so that the full number of God's elect, not only out of the Gentile nations, but from amongst His ancient people, shall be gathered in through the gospel of redeeming grace. But also, my friend, before the Savior returns, there will be times of great trouble and difficulty. Times of trial and tribulation. Times when it will seem that to be a Christian is to place upon yourself a target for every hateful and vindictive individual. When God's people shall find that there are those who once walked with them, and they shall choose apostasy rather than faithfulness, there shall be a great falling away. The iniquity shall abound because the love of many shall wax cold. All these things shall come to pass. As the Lord is speaking here to his people, he's reminding them that in the going forth of the gospel, in all that is going to be done before the end of the world, there will be blessing for Gentile and for Jew. There will be the conversion of multitudes, but there will be apostasy and there will be tribulation. See some of the things that are being done today against those who will stand for God and his word. Certainly not an encouragement today, is it, to stand up and speak up? If you say you believe God's threatenings against wickedness, the best you can hope for is mockery. The worst is that you will become the focus of the animosity and the hatred of the vile and the violent. Apostasy, wickedness is on every hand. But along with that, the Bible tells us that things will occur, things that will cause us to say that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. There shall be those signs which are seen in the heavens above and in the earth below, which will say that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is something which we should consider constantly. There are those events that we read of both in Matthew chapter 24, which of course first of all deals with those things which will be happening prior to the destruction of the temple in AD 70, but also brings out those things which will precede the end of the world, the judgment of mankind. And we read in the book of Romans, in chapter 10 and verse number 25, with regards to the events and the signs which shall precede that return of our Savior, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And what is being said to us there is this, that as you look into Scripture, into Matthew 24, into other passages in Scripture, in Mark and elsewhere, and you see what you have been warned of, rolling into reality from the pages of prophecy, being brought to fulfillment in the day and the hour that you live, the Lord says, be careful. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And be careful not to do so, particularly as ye see the day approaching. The nearer that day comes, the closer you should stick to Christ. And if you look out and you say, oh, surely the hour is close, that is not a reason to abandon the church of God. That is not a reason to go and to let your love grow cold. Rather, that is the time to stand on the Lord's side, to show that you are his, whatever the world will do. Whatever those who choose apostasy over faithfulness will do, as you see the days approaching, as you see the days drawing closer and closer, as you see the signs being fulfilled and the Lord warned, that very time, rather than hiding away, you draw nearer to the Lord and to His people. You remember what's said in James chapter 5 and verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. And then he says this, behold, the judge standeth before the door. And the picture there is a very vivid one. He's saying, what you do in this world, do with the recognition that the very shadow of the judge is over the doorway, as if he is about to turn the handle and come in. The picture may be thought of in this way. Imagine a judge in his robing chamber, and he is preparing to go in and give judgment. And he has placed upon him the apparel which speaks of his right to judge and to bear office. And as he moves from before the mirror, checking that everything is in place, his hand goes to the door. That's the point where he says, the judge standeth at the door. You see the practical implication of reckoning on the nearness of the coming of Christ. Realize it affects the way you deal with one another. The way you deal with your family, the way you deal with your friends, the way you deal with your workmates, the way you deal with the church. The judge standeth at the door. One of the sad things is that so often people look at these things trying to say, oh, it's still a long way off. That was never the purpose of what Christ said. You look at what he says here in verse 44, having said all these things, the idea was not that having spoken in this way, they would then just say, well, we can relax. Won't be for a long time yet, it won't need to worry us. The way some people treat the coming of Christ. It's not what the Lord says. The Lord makes it abundantly clear that our resolve should be to be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No one can determine the exact time. Not the angels in heaven, verse 36, but the Father only. We know that the Son, according to his humanity, not as he is the second person of the Deity, but in his humanity, in his mediatorial role with regards to that knowledge which he has in that human nature, is not privy to it until he is set to go. Yes, he's the second person of the Godhead. In his deity, he is aware of all things. But as the Son of Man, in his mediatorial position, he is not. And therefore he says this, because we cannot know the exact time of the coming of the Lord, we are constantly to be ready. When I was in the army, some of you were At the fellowship last night, you heard part of my experience in the army, perhaps not the best part in some ways, but you did hear the best part of all when I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in my role as a soldier, one of the things that we were required to do is that we were to have certain pieces of our equipment always packed and ready to go. We had to be able to move at literally a moment's notice. Our role at that time was such that we could be taken at very short notice and placed into whatever area they thought that then the time the threat was seen to be the Russian advance over the great plain there in the centre of Europe. And so we had to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And here the Lord is saying to his people, be ye also ready. Doesn't matter what else you do. Doesn't matter what else you're about. You may have many things that you may have to plan for, prepare for, and deal for, but you live as those who are ready. Though there are signs that will precede the coming of the Lord and cause those who are prepared and preparing to be less shocked than others, yet it will take us by surprise. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And that's why you're always to be ready. Because the day and the hour you do not know. You cannot tell when Jesus Christ will come again. But you know that he shall. And you know, my friend, that you are called upon to be ready for that return. His coming again will signal the resurrection of all mankind, the just and the unjust, to stand before him. Those who are ready and prepared to be on his right hand and to be called to the blessedness prepared for them. Those who are not as the goats upon his left hand, be consigned to everlasting darkness, prepared for the devil and his angels. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, that great bringing together of the resurrection of mankind and the judgment of mankind shall take place. The question is this: what is your response to that fact? What are you to do in the light of that? The fact that Christ is coming again, and that when he comes, as we read in the following chapter, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered and ye gave me to meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in. Naked ye clothed me. Sick ye visited me. In prison and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when? He'll say, whenever ye did it to the least of these my brethren. Then he'll deal with the wicked. and they'll be as confused and unable to account for the charge laid at first. When saw we thee? He'll say, when you did it to my people, when the least of my brethren were persecuted and afflicted, you did it to me. Oh, in the light of that, verse 44 screams out to one and all, therefore be ye also ready. You see, that's a personal demand. Be ye ready. You're here tonight, my friend. I want to ask you, if Christ came tonight, would you be ready? The heavens were to rend, and Christ would be to come with his angels in power and great glory, would you be ready? In that very personal way, be ye ready. Not saying, would your family be ready? Or your friends, or your workmates, or whoever's sitting next to you in the pew, if someone's beside you, would you be ready? Be ye ready. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for him to come? Are all things prepared and right between you and your God? What about those of you who are? Are you living as one who's ready? When others look at you, do they see one who is ready? When you speak to others, do you encourage them to be ready? Having prepared yourself, are you identifiable and recognizable as one who is ready? Are you like one of those wise virgins, prepared and ready, that we read of in the following chapter? And this is not only a very personal demand, be ye ready, a very pressing demand. Be ready. It is a very powerful and perpetual demand. Be ye also ready. If he was saying that to his disciples on the Mount of Olives almost 2,000 years ago, be ye also ready. Are you ready right now? It's the perpetual demand of his people. There's never a time when the church can say, we don't need to be ready now. And you know, my friend, our families, our friends, our neighbours and our nation need to see a prepared people preparing to meet with their God. Your workmates need to know that you are getting ready to be with your Saviour. Your children need to know that you are seeking first the kingdom of God, that you are putting readiness for the return of Jesus Christ at the top of your to-do list. Nothing else before it. Be ye also ready. Why? For in such an hour as ye think not, Son of Man cometh. The Lord Jesus Christ shall surely come. All Scripture declares that only some will be ready. Scripture faithfully declares. But are you ready when Christ shall return? We have looked at the death of our Saviour. You look at this passage, he was speaking to them fully aware that he was about to go and give his life as a ransom for many. It was with his eye upon the cross. And he was looking beyond that cross to the day when he would return for his own. We have looked at the sacrifice Christ made, the preparation that he made for his people, the provision that he has given for us in this wilderness of the world. And the question is, are we ready? May God make us so. Let us pray.